Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Ernie Banks, hitting .241 at the moment. Two home runs, 13 runs batted in. 499 lifetime homers. Here we go. Foul ball, strike one. He has narrowly missed getting a home run the last couple of days with triples high off that wall and left. Strike one. It's a ball, one and one. The wind is not a big factor. It's out of the southeast at 7 miles an hour. Jarvis fires away. That's a fly ball. Deep to left. Back. That's it. Hey. He did it. Ernie Banks got number 500. A line drive shot into the seats and left. The ball tossed to the bullpen. Everybody on your feet. This is it. And here is one of the great moments in baseball history in the United States of America, and particularly in Chicago.
Let's go.
Roger, that meant that Chicago baseball was on the air, right?
Oh, for decades. I could just keep singing along with this one.
Isn't this great?
Oh, I love that time.
Well, I'll tell you, today marks the 100th anniversary of the birth of Jack Brickhouse, one of the most celebrated and beloved Chicago broadcasters of the 20th century. Well said, Robert Feeder. Born in January 24th, 1916 in Peoria, John Beasley Brickhouse joined WGN AM 720 in 1940 and spent the next four decades as the voice of the Chicago Cubs. He was a powerhouse for 40 years. The Cubs, the Sox, the Bears, the Bulls, Rose Bowls, national NFL championship games, boxing matches, professional wrestling, Big Ten football games, big band television shows, five national political conventions. He interviewed U.S. presidents and a pope. I mean, this guy was everywhere on WGN, and he meant Chicago baseball.
Yeah, it was definitely baseball was what everyone nowadays remembers him as. Well, that, the voice, especially of the Cubs.
And his statue stands right outside of the studio here. And you know what? It is sad because it's 1981 is when he stepped away from the booth, and he's a couple generations removed already. But, I mean, he was the biggest sports guy in town for 40 years.
Amazing.
There's nobody else like him.
Amazing.
I've got a clip I want to share with you. Larry Potash from the WGN Morning News last year shared this. He said he was walking down the hallways in the early 1990s, and Jack kept an office at WGN for another 15 years after he left the airwaves. And he said, what's going on, young man? And I found this tape or this recording, and it was of Babe Ruth. And it was right really before Babe's passing, a year or two before Babe's passing when he was pretty ill. And not a lot of people heard the voice of Babe Ruth because you got to think about when he really played baseball. There wasn't a lot of recordings back then. Mm-hmm. And he was he didn't like to talk on the air, but he would talk to people in the ballpark. And so Jack taped a WGN radio mic to the mic from Wrigley Field so that the folks could hear Babe Ruth. I mean, legendary. I mean, think about this. Mm-hmm. Babe Ruth and Jack Brickhouse talking in the 1940s. So Larry spoke to Jack about it, and here's a little excerpt from that conversation.
We decided that the Babe might be a little bit nervous or upset if he saw radio picking this up. A PA mic, yes, that's something else. So we masked the tape on the side of the engineer's box. We then hid the engineer and the box under the stands and, of course, attached our microphone to the PA microphone, and we did capture it. And I'll never forget it. It was really something.
Ladies and gentlemen, hope you will excuse my voice because it's very weak. There's one thing that I deeply regret, and when the boys asked me to autograph their scorecard, I have to refuse. Because if I do it for one, I'll have to do it for all.
You had thousands of kids down there that day, and there was something about the fact that he knew what his condition was, and seeing all these youngsters that really caught up with him. What caught up with him was the fact that he realized just how important these wonderful kids were to him and his life.
The legendary Jack Brickhouse. And I'll tell you what, when we come back, as we celebrate and reflect on the life of Jack Brickhouse, 100th birthday today, we're going to share some memories from his wife, Pat Brickhouse. And we'll do that after the news next on 720 WGN. Dave Flyer back with you as we celebrate the 100th birthday of Jack Brickhouse. And I spoke to Jack's wife, Pat, back in 2014 when the Chicago Cubs honored her late husband with Jack Brickhouse Day at Wrigley Field. And we talked about his award-winning career. So Jack began his broadcasting career when he was only 18 in 1934.
The youngest sportscaster in the nation.
It's amazing to me. At $17 a week, which is how I got this job, too, actually.
Oh, and still so, that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That
you know the story of how he got into broadcasting. He lost a contest.
Really?
There was a contest. WMBD, the station he worked for in Peoria, had a contest. And it was like, so you want to become a broadcaster? Well, he was a college dropout because there was no money for his continuation, and the scholarship never came through. So he entered the contest, and he said, I was fifth out of sixth in line. I beat out a seven-year-old guy. He'd never done any air work, but the guy heard something about his voice and said, would you like to come to work as a part-time switchboard operator and part-time broadcaster? That's
a good deal. That's a good deal. And he did that for 6 years when WGN hired him in 1940 to do Cubs and White Sox, largely on the recommendation of their top announcer here, who was Bob Elson,
right? Bob Elson, correct.
And he was the very first face.
And I sent him this wire, and the wire said, opening on South Side, and remember, if asked, you know everything about baseball.
Can I tell you something? I just read that because that is up in the Jack Brickhouse exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Well,
that exact telegram.
We have to go see that.
We do. I know you and I have to go take a visit over there. But yeah, I just read that telegram, which was amazing to see.
It is. Yeah.
Now he was also the very first face shown when WGN Television Channel 9 began broadcasting in 1948, after the U.S. Marine Corps service in World War II. He missed the 1945 season. It was the only time in his long tenure with the Cubs that they won a national pennant, so he missed it, which is crazy.
Well, he's still talked about
we're still missing it. And then his only pennant as broadcaster would belong to the White Sox in 59, but neither the 45 Cubs or the 59 White Sox, of course, won the World Series. He was having the time of his life.
Oh, he said he had so much fun, maybe he'd have to go to work for a living. But
right?
Yeah, he loved every minute of it. And he spent 1 year in New York. A lot of people forget this, broadcasting for the Giants. He said it was the worst year of his life. He had a chance to go on either coast, but chose to come back to his beloved Chicago and WGN, where he remained for 40 years.
Yeah, so he moved out there. I mean, he picked up everything and left for a little while, for just 1 year.
Yeah.
And that was just miserable for him.
He didn't like it at all. He said, well, for a couple reasons. Here in Chicago, we are the friendliest people in the United States and the greatest sports fans in America. And that's when he coined the phrase lovable losers.
Yeah, right.
They root for them.
Yeah. Now, what's amazing to me is after all this time of Jack being with WGN, 40 years, I mean, he's really the only guy most of us knew growing up, you know, watching the game.
Well, I've been asked also what people missed most. And believe it or not, he got a national award from Look magazine. And that was his rain delays.
Yeah, explain that. You've told me that story off air before, but explain that to folks.
Yeah, well,
they were so entertaining.
He was a great interviewer, and he had such recall that people looked forward to that. They don't do that anymore. There's nobody that can.
Right.
But he said, "Don't ask me what my wife fed me for breakfast because that wasn't important to him."
Yeah.
He wouldn't remember.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. And he did other events too. I mean, it wasn't just about sports for him, but we did mention.
Oh yeah, he got the only international award WGN has ever received for an interview with the Pope.
Yeah.
They took him off and sent him to political conventions because he could open doors, and sure. He did it all.
But the Cubs, the Sox, and, you know, the Cubs and the Sox, they never played really the same day, so that was pretty easy. The Bears, the Bulls, he did the Rose Bowls, as we mentioned.
That's my trivia question. People forget he was the first voice of the Chicago Bulls when they became the Bulls.
Yeah.
When Johnny Redkerr was our coach.
But he did boxing. He did professional wrestling. A lot of that in the late
40s,
early 50s.
Oh, for 10 years.
Yeah.
He was telling me that story before we got together. And, if he didn't get a 50 rating, he said they were dogging it.
That's
incredible.
50
rating, yeah.
Half the viewing audience watching that.
Yeah.
That is absolutely incredible. Well, I'll tell you what, the legendary Jack Brickhouse will be honored at Wrigley, and we're going to talk about that and more. Are they on their way, Andy Mazur?
Well, they're on their way in about 30 minutes or so. Yeah, nobody can guarantee.
Dave Plyard for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. And we're talking to Pat Brickhouse about WGN's very own Jack Brickhouse being honored later this month at Wrigley Field. Now, we were talking, Pat, a little bit about his other on-air duties with other sports. Now, Chicago Bears football was on WGN radio with his buddy, Irv Cupson, for
24 years.
Yeah. And that was really good friends. I mean, that's how you two met.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Remember that story? Was it at Eli's?
I needed a keynote speaker for a client, and Cup couldn't make the appearance. And it was a Monday, and Jack had a day off. And I went down to meet him at Eli's, restaurant. And this is part of his book. I walk in. I didn't have a very large budget from this client. And I extended my hand, and I said to him, my married name at the time, my first marriage, was Pat Edelson. "How do you do, Mr. Brickhouse? I'm Pat Edelson, and I can't afford you." And I sat down, and I thought, OMG, what did I just do? He laughed, and he was telling me his price is his price, or, you know, if it's for profit, which the Sheraton properties were, or a charity he couldn't charge, which we did three or four nights a week after we were married. But he said, you know, Cup is my buddy, and so I can't take a fee. A reduced fee. However, would you just buy me lunch?
Oh, that's a deal.
Well, the end of the story is it was a four-hour lunch. And as Jack later said, it was like two boxcars coming together. We had 18 years, most wonderful 18 years of my life.
Well, and you've kept his legend going all this time as well.
I sure do try hard.
You do.
Well, you know, there's a great line that I love to quote that was given to me, and they called him the inspirational ambassador of baseball. He taught us how to love and care about the game of baseball.
He did.
That is true.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. That's really, and not only baseball, as we said, baseball and football and basketball. But Jack covered the inauguration of FDR, which, I mean, you think about how far back that was. And he interviewed a bunch of presidents, too.
Yes. One of his absolutely closest friends in the whole world was Ronald Reagan. They broadcast together.
That's right. He was calling games back in the 40s.
Reagan, Reagan was from Pekin. And Jack was from Peoria, and they actually did some broadcasting.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And he did, again, the days, you know, the Cubs games, the sports during the news with WGN TV. He was on radio. And in 1981,
the very first voice of WGN television in 1940. And people forget this, when CLTV was created, he was the very first voice on CLTV.
Really?
As well. Yeah.
I did not know.
I was privy to that one.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And then he retired in 81. You know, he was almost retired 18 years before he left. Was he bored? Or was he was always keeping busy doing other things, wasn't he?
What he wanted to do was have a little life that he never had time for.
He never had time. He was always on the road.
And so he played a little golf. He wrote a couple of books.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of personal appearances.
He did.
As well.
He did. 87 with Harry Carey recuperating from a stroke or
Him back.
Yeah. And I remember that. And I remember how cool that was, because you missed him for 6 years, right? I mean, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And then 1990, the city of Chicago honored him by naming a part of Michigan Avenue near the Tribune Tower.
Oh, and let me tell you a story about that, if I may interject.
Sure.
Jack, even today, I do believe, was so beloved because of his great humility. He never let anything go to his head, all of the accolades that he received. And in all seriousness, one night, and I surprised him with that Jack Brickhouse way, he had no idea it was going to happen. He was overwhelmed. But in all seriousness, he said to me, "Do you know, after I'm gone, do you think they'll take the signs down?" Now, when I dedicated this beautiful statue,
which is just a few feet away from us here in the studio, in Michigan,
adjacent to Tribune Tower, where it all started with him, I said at the dedication, "No, Jack, not only are they not taking the signs down, but now I recently, on behalf of the Brickhouse family, gave that statue to the city of Chicago. So it is now a part of their international art collection. And
that's very cool.
Perpetuity, it will be there forever, as he will be in the minds of a lot of people who...
So visible walking downtown. Everyone sees him every day walking through here. Isn't that awesome?
It's amazing because, well, people say to me, "Shouldn't that be at Wrigley Field?" Well, I live 3 minutes from Wrigley Field. And the answer to that one is definitely not, because this is 12 months out of the year. People, I've never walked by, they're not taking pictures. Wrigley Field in the winter, no one's around there.
But he belonged to the Cubs, he belonged to the Sox, he belonged to the Bears, he belonged to the Bulls.
Oh, yes.
And into WGN, so it's really the perfect spot.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then if you wanted to actually see some of the Jack Brickhouse memorabilia, including that telegram we were talking about, it's all at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Now,
can I end with a line?
Yeah, please.
One of my favorites, the author of this is unknown, and I truly believe this about Jack Brickhouse and his legacy and his legend. As long as one lives in the hearts and the minds of those he left behind, then he is not really dead. Though his voice is still, his memory lingers on.